Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Right, I'm going to pop those there. And what I'm also going to do is I'm going to pop my watch on, because then I can't get told off if I go over. I keep my eye on it. Right, how's everybody doing today? Everybody doing well? I would like to start with a question today. Who do you consider to be a hero? Just give yourself to think about it for a moment. And think about maybe who is a hero in your life, or the kind of person that you would consider to be a hero. When we talk about this at work, and actually I've done similar things with school children, they've talked about heroes being police officers or ambulance drivers. Their mum and dad came up a lot. Teachers came up, which the teachers in the classroom were very happy about. They were very happy. I think they paid some of the kids off. And these kind of careers came up, but also brothers and sisters and people that have changed their lives. And they're all really good answers. Could we have a slide up, please? For me, when I think about heroes, because I am a child, this is what I tend to think about. Could you click the next few, please? Oh, we're having a bit of a moment. We'll see. You may see. You may not. I may have to carry on without. What you will see shortly, if they come up, is a collection of superheroes, because inside, I'm still about 10 years old. When I think of hero, it's just what pops into my head. Spider-Man, Captain America, Batman. Superheroes are what I think of when I hear the word hero, and I probably shouldn't. With my wife being in the NHS, she'd probably be happy if I came up with a different answer. But that's what comes into my brain. And so I got thinking about this. Why do superheroes, or characters in fiction, why do they become something that we hang on to? You know, you can read a story in a book and go, that character is a hero. How can we tell? How do we know that somebody is a hero? And I think it comes down largely to inspiration, to what they represent and what they tell us. And a hero is somebody we can look at and say, that's what we should all be like. That shows us how people are meant to act. And with superheroes, they certainly do that. They say, oh, whether they can fly or, you know, shoot things out of their eyes, the important part of the superhero is that they save people. They give themselves up. They use what they have to rescue other people. And I think with that in mind, it would be hard to argue that the first and truest and actually real superhero we have is God. Really, at the end of the day, we pick up the Bible and from page one, we have a story of a person giving up their power to create this world of blessing for others. And then you have this huge blockbuster, big budget, heartbreakingly beautiful moment where God comes down as a human being and he overthrows the big bad enemy, which is death. And then, like all the best superheroes, having defeated death, comes back to life again. And the remarkable thing about that story, and like all of the superhero stories, is that it is real, which for me stands out quite a lot. So when I was thinking about heroes today, that's what was coming into my mind, was what God gave up, what he sacrificed, what he did to bring a future for others, and how that should be an inspiration. Now, when Jesus came down as a human being, he was trying to show us how humans were meant to be from the beginning, how we were supposed to be designed. And one of the things that he did is when people asked him, so what is the point of life? What are we supposed to be doing? Why are we all here? He would tell a story. And he told stories because he knew stories get us deep down. It's the reason the Bible is a book full of stories. God could have given us the Bible in interpretive dance that we passed on through generation to generation. But storytelling does something else, doesn't it? You read a story and it can stay with you for a long time. So Jesus told the story. We just heard the Good Samaritan. And I would love to go into so much detail on the Good Samaritan. As I've been reading about it more and more and trying to get into the mindset of the Hebrew listeners of the day, I just realised how shocking and actually deeply, deeply offensive the story would have been for people who heard it and misunderstood it. It's not a comfortable thing to listen to. And I think Jesus often wasn't that comfortable to be around. We sometimes like to think he was very warm and fuzzy, and he was for people who needed it. But when he was asked a question, he gave a straight answer, even in the form of a story. So I can't unpack it as much as I'd love to today. If anyone wants to talk to me about the story, I think it's amazing. Please come talk to me afterwards. But something that I want to take away from the story today is somebody asks him, who do I need to love? And Jesus says, well, what do the scriptures say? And they say, well, we must love our neighbour. And then the man, trying to get out of that predicament, says, who's my neighbour? Specifically, who do I have to love? Can I please choose, is what he's asking, really. How many people do I have to love? Can it please be up to me? And I think if we're all being honest, it's really easy to say to God, can I please choose who I have to love? Because there's a lot of people and I don't like all of them. And I don't want them all to have to be my neighbour. So Jesus tells a story of a person who's broken and battered and abandoned and says, do you think they care who their neighbour is? Do you think they mind who reaches out to help them? And then he says, if you're meant to be made in God's image, do you think you should mind who you reach out to? Because the challenge of the whole story is that God doesn't. God reaches out to all of us. And it's very powerful when you think about it in those terms, especially when you remember that this story he told is to teach us something. Because that man who was left broken and abandoned and battered outside of the streets, who was walked by people, can represent anybody. They can represent a whole group of people. They could represent a family. And I'd like to tell you a story about a family today. So, I've got some slides up. I hadn't even realised. Yes, please. Go on to the next slide. This is exciting, isn't it? This chap here, this man you can see being treated, and this man who is on these banners and on the brochures you have, his name is Fio. Fio lives in Myanmar, what used to be called Burma. And Burma's a really tough place to live. Myanmar has been affected by the longest running civil war in recent history. The infrastructure there is not great, to say the least. And one in three people in Myanmar live below the poverty line. You can imagine when Jesus was telling his story to people who most likely weren't wealthy, who were in a country under foreign occupation, who've seen conflict and turmoil, not a dissimilar state. And the thing about Myanmar is, in 2018, there were 2,300 new cases of leprosy that year. And I've talked briefly about leprosy, talked about the fact that it's a bacteria and the damage that it does. But it's the damage that it does to lives that is more profound and uncomfortable. If we could go on, I think it's the next slide, if I have done them correctly, well done me. This place is called Morlamine Christian Hospital. Christian Leprosy Hospital, very specifically. It's the only one of its kind in Myanmar. And Fio, he noticed patches on his skin, discoloured patches, which are some of the first signs of leprosy. So when he noticed that, he thought, well, I'll go to the hospital and I'll find out what it is. And they diagnosed him with leprosy. And you would think, oh, he's in the best place in the world to be treated by leprosy. He's in a leprosy hospital. That's great. But the fear was so powerful that even though he was there, he ran away. Because he couldn't face the truth of what he'd just been told. It was just, I can't imagine having such abject fear that you would just run from everything, even the place that would provide you help. But he did. The amazing thing is he did return. And they gave him the cure and treated his leprosy. So leprosy is gone. From him completely. It's fantastic. He's still left with ulcers on his foot, which in the previous picture you saw he was being treated. His foot's been damaged and he needs continuous care. So, yes, the hospital helped save him from leprosy, but I think it's what comes next that for me is like, this is the part of the story that I really want to share. He was there for a few months, and that's when Marwe came. Now, Marwe was visiting the hospital. Marwe was this young lady who saw fire, and she didn't see the ulcers, and she didn't see his fear and his pain and how other people would think about him. She fell in love with him. And if we could see the next slide, please. This is Marwe and Fio and their three-year-old chit. They now have a family. All because he went to this place and received care. All because he wasn't looked at or treated as different, as someone that wasn't worthy of love. And I think so often the story of the Bible, certainly the story of the Good Samaritan, it's not just picking someone up and helping them. It's what comes next. It's giving them a future. Jesus' example was, if you see someone broken, you pick them up and help them, but then you take them to the inn and you pay for their stay and you come back and you check and you make sure this person is cradled in love. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus made all of creation for us. God designed us this huge world of blessing and said, I'm gifting this to you. But on top of that, I want to give you a real future where you can partner with me in running it. I think that's an amazing blessing that we sometimes forget. God said, this isn't just you can sit in this lovely garden. He said, you help me cultivate it. We're going to grow this together. You don't deserve it. Like, you're not going to be good at it, but if you work with me, we'll get there. And I think this story, for me, tells something of that Good Samaritan story where it's, yes, I'm going to give you this gift, but we're going to get somewhere together. And it's the people who enabled that I'm here to talk about today. They are the heroes that I want us to think about. I'm sure you've seen on the packs and on the signs, we're talking about hospital heroes. And there are two people in particular, at Mawler Mine specifically, who when I heard about them, I was honestly blown away by what they do. There's a doctor named Dr. Saul, who already sounds like a fictional character from comic books, I think. But his name is Dr. Saul. And he's a professionally trained doctor. I'm sure if anyone here is in the NHS or knows anybody who is, if you're well trained but you decide to go private, you can earn a lot more. It's a beautiful truth that you can, but people choose to stay. And the people who work in our leprosy hospitals, they could go and they could probably get really flash houses and really flash cars and they could get huge pay rises and massive salaries, but for them it's not about what they can gain, it's about what they can give. Again, the sign of a hero, I would say. And Dr. Saul, when he's on the wards, he wants the patients to understand that he doesn't think he's higher up than them, that just because he's got skill sets, he's not set apart. So he will eat the same food as them, he will use the same toilets, he will sit with the patients, and at night, he will make sure that he's in the hospital grounds. He doesn't go home until there's other people there. He makes sure he's in the hospital grounds so that if he's needed, he can go and sit with people and be there for them. Even if at that moment there's nothing as a doctor he can do, he wants to be able to hold a person's hand. And in a minute we're going to see a video to explain it better, but there's a woman that video starts with who's the hospital administrator, and her name is Dr. Roma. And her story is very powerful, but I also find it quite funny because it feels like, yes, that's a lot of my life, certainly. She was praying when she was a newly qualified doctor, asking God, where do you want me to go? And he said, I would like to go to Mawler Mine Christian Leprosy Hospital. And she said, no. And then was quite happy and stopped praying. and then she felt moved, and a voice said, you're going to have to pray again. So she said, okay. All right then, because she already knew what the answer was going to be, so she prayed again, God, where do you want me to go? And she got the same answer. And so she said, okay. And I think so often I pray to God asking a question and I already know the answer I'd like him to give me. And if he gives me a different answer, I say, I'm going to stop praying now in case you tell me something else I didn't want to hear. But yeah, I think they explain it best in their own words about the passion and the love they have for the people that they see who are broken and abandoned. Because there's amazing stories, like Fio and Marwe, but there's also the other side of it all. Because Marwe can't go home now. She's not allowed to go and see her family, she's not actually allowed over the line of the village because of who she chose to marry. Her family have cut her off, they want nothing to do with her because her husband has had leprosy. And as I said, I went to Nepal in November, and I sat with some women in the hospital bed. A group of us were there, and they were just telling us about, if they were lucky, they had one or two people that still looked after them. And we actually got the opportunity to go into a village and see some low-cost housing that the leprosy mission had been able to support people with. And we were told, we're going to go to a self-care group to see how people are, you know, getting opportunities and they're starting businesses and things. But while you're in the village, you can't say why you're here. Because if any of the neighbours find out, that's it for the family. A young mum looking after her 16-year-old boy who's at college, he's got dreams and aspirations. All that will end if people know that she's been treated for leprosy in the past, even. Not even currently, she's been cured. But it doesn't matter, there's still that fear and stigma over it all. And that was really difficult because you want to just understand someone and get to know and talk to them, but you have to, there was this silence, we have to wait, we can't speak here. And I think the people who day in, day out care for people with leprosy are absolutely amazing. If we could go on to the next slide, it's going to play a video and I'm just going to move out of the way for a moment while we watch that. And if not, I'll go back. It's entirely possible, it's not going to work. That looks sort of like a shrug, so I'm thinking it's not playing. That's fine. That's okay, it happens quite often. I've been at other talks where other people have done the same. The thing that really strikes me about the video that isn't playing is Dr. Roma talking about what people need, who they need right there in that moment. And it's about, without people who support them, they have nobody. Fio, in that video clip, I didn't mention it because it was in the video, but I'll say it now, he very clearly says without the hospital, he would have died. The infection would have spread through his body and that could have made him incredibly ill and sick and died. But I think there's also an underlying part of the story that we hear very often is having leprosy and being cut off from everybody you love, the mental health statistics are incredibly high and depression is incredibly high. And I've spoken to people who've said, if I wasn't helped, I would have taken my own life because they don't know what else there is left. And it's devastating and really painful to hear people say it, but it's what it's like in a lot of parts of the world. And the thing the video shows, though, is that I'm going to go over there and you can watch it. Maybe. It should be this. This should have a play button on it, does it not? That's the main screen. No? All right. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's not a problem. I'll come back over here. I'll do my thing. I don't mind. It's all right. Could we go on to the slide that's following from that slide, please? And I'll just pick it up from there. It's not a worry. Because I wanted to tie back into the Good Samaritan again. As I say, it's a story that I think is a beautiful image of what God calls all humans to. If we're all made in God's image, and the first act God did was to create a world of blessing for others, I think that is ingrained into the design of people. That creating worlds of blessing for other people... Go to the next one, thank you. Creating worlds of blessing is what God calls us to. And when the young man comes to Jesus and says, what does eternal life mean? Jesus says, what do the scriptures say? Basically summarise the Bible for me. Summarise all of human history's relationship with God, could you please? And he's a very good Jewish boy, so he knows the Ten Commandments, and he sums them up beautifully. And Jesus himself does it. Another time he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Because from the beginning, that's what we were called for. we have this privilege to partner with God in creating worlds of blessing. We talk about his kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And for me, that looks like reaching out and helping those who are broken and left and ignored by the rest of the world. I think it's really easy a lot of the time to, and I certainly do this, think, I'm not a hero. I'm not somebody special. There's things I can do and there's things I can't do, and maybe the list of things I can't do is bigger than the list of the things I can do. And we think we know what a hero looks like. And often we think it doesn't look like us. It looks like somebody else doing something somewhere else. Actually, in the story of the Good Samaritan, people said, we know what a hero looks like, and it doesn't look like him. It looks like these other people. I would encourage you, don't cut yourself off from the blessing of being allowed to partner with God. Don't exclude yourself from a box that God doesn't exclude you from. Because that's what we're called to do, is to love our neighbour and love the Lord. It's a model for all humanity, what Jesus came to do. And today I would say, on this is leprosy, World Leprosy Day, where people around the world are thinking about the effects of leprosy, and importantly, thinking about God's calling, Jesus' calling. There weren't many things Jesus specifically said, go and do, in very specific terms, but caring for people affected by leprosy was one of them. People like Fio need heroes like Dr. Saw and Dr. Roma, and they need heroes like yourselves who can support them. There are a few ways you can do this that I would really love to just tell you about briefly. You've already given us the offering today, which is an amazing blessing, and I had somehow missed that and hadn't realised until I came today, and I'm so humbled and thankful that that's what you've chosen to do today. In the packs you've got, if you open them up, the first little leaflet you will see, and there's a reason it's the first one inside, is that it's a prayer leaflet. Because for us, prayer isn't a thing we attach on. It's not a nice little bonus. Everything is centred in faith, in prayer, in a love of Jesus. We start work at 9:30 every day with prayer for half an hour before we begin the day, because we want to remind ourselves that nothing happens without God. If you can't do anything except pray, that's not what I mean. Please pray first and foremost. And if that's what you can do, then that's the most powerful thing you can do. And I would be over the moon if you could all pray for people like Fire and people like Dr. Swan, Dr. Roma. The other thing is, if you did want to give another gift, if when you pray you do feel moved, there are forms in there that can allow you to do so. There are some suggestions on there of amounts. I think it's got the £24, because as we've said, that can cure someone from leprosy. The other amounts are guides and suggestions. Please don't think that it has to be one of those, or we don't want your money. That's not the case at all. And some of the bigger ones are intended, like if you want to do it as a group, something like that. It's not just you have to give us £24 or a massive gift. That's not what we're asking today. Mainly I'm asking for prayer and support and consideration. If you feel moved to give, there's some help there for it. The last thing I would say as well is there is a direct debit form in there too. And actually, if we know how much we have coming in for the year, then hospitals like Mall of Mine and staff like Dr. Saw and Dr. Roma, we know how much we can continue to give for the year. We know how long that project can go on for. It's immensely helpful if that's what you would like to do with the money that you have. But actually, I just want to say a huge thank you today for being allowed to stand here to talk to you about people affected by leprosy, to talk from the Bible, to be able to share some scripture. And I've had a wonderful opportunity. Thank you for letting me speak. I would just like to pray now. Close in prayer, and then I will hand back this way to Jeff, I think. But yeah, I'll just close in prayer. Lord, thank you we can gather as brothers and sisters. Thank you we can open up your word, and we can read the stories that you spoke, the lessons that you gave, and the example you showed us of how to love, of how to be fully human. I pray we remember brothers and sisters who are overseas, living in places like Myanmar in really difficult circumstances, places like India where there is such oppression at the moment, and places where stigma and diseases like leprosy just crush people's lives, Lord. I will pray you remind us to consider those who work so hard there, and to pray for hope and a future for people who in a moment feel like they have none. because you are the future and hope for all of us, Lord. And I pray you will continue to do your amazing work. Amen.
Amen.